and this is Word of Mouth. I'm your host, Jim Wunderlich, and my guest today is Kaylee Hukirk, a patient care specialist at The Clinic, a medical cannabis dispensary located in Mundelein. Kaylee has been a specialist in the wellness industry for over 7 years. She has designed and developed wellness programs that customize treatments for qualified patients approved by the Illinois Medical Cannabis Board. And she is a member of Illinois Women in Cannabis and has dual certifications in integrative medicine and health and nutrition. And Kaylee, thanks so much for being on the program today.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
You know, I have to ask you, what triggered your interest in becoming a patient care specialist in the field of medical cannabis, or better known, medical marijuana?
Yeah, well, medical cannabis is a very personal thing to me. My grandfather was struggling with cancer for a really long time, and I was in the natural health field and researching all that I really could to help remedy his symptoms that his traditional therapies really weren't aiding with. So basically, I was considering options of either, you know, traveling to Colorado and becoming one of the green refugees, as they would say, patients that are moving specifically for the treatment of medical cannabis.
But oh, and that's called green refugee.
Green refugees.
I have not heard that term before. Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
People that are moving to medical marijuana states, you know, just to get the relief that they need. And it's unfortunate that they'd have to take, you know, such a dramatic remove in, you know, the most heartbreaking times of their life.
Now, you say you're in the wellness area. You were okay. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that too.
Yeah. Well, I was in the spa and wellness industry. I helped run a 5,000 square foot wellness facility in Geneva, Illinois. You know, flotation therapy, acupuncturist, massage therapist, flotation tanks and salt therapies. It was really, really interesting. And you know, kind of being in that field, you realize that there's a huge need for basically traditional therapies and integrative medicine. There's really a place for both of them.
And so I guess that was a natural fit then for you to move to the medical marijuana industry then?
Absolutely. You know, my education and background in alternative health and herbalism really kind of helped to solidify, you know, my position here with the Clinic Mundelein.
So curious about the industry itself. Are there special educational requirements or accreditations to be a patient care specialist in your field?
Yeah.
Okay. Medical marijuana.
Right. Medical cannabis. At this time, there are no special.
Now, do you prefer medical cannabis versus marijuana?
Because
what's the distinction there?
So, cannabis is the technical biological term for the plant, where marijuana.
The compound, more
right.
or less.
Okay. So, you know, marijuana is more of a loose term that we use on the streets, and really, we're trying to kind of separate the stigma. So, medical cannabis is the scientific term that we choose to use.
Okay. Okay. So, you were going to talk about the accreditations, and I kind of cut you off there a little bit.
Yeah. So there's no accreditation right now for the medical cannabis field, unfortunately. But, you know, as advocates, it's something we're really pushing towards to have an industry-wide standard so everybody gets top-notch care. And, you know, it's really something that we're hoping for in the future. But right now, the major universities don't recognize, you know, cannabis as an industry, and they really don't have classes geared towards cannabis therapy at the moment.
So is there like a certificate of sorts that you get then to become a patient care specialist, or how does that work?
Right. So there's actually a lot of different programs right now available online, and, you know, some of them are better than others. There's bud tending certifications, if you will, you know, people that come into the state of Illinois from Colorado, Washington, California, that kind of help to get people up to speed with some of the most basic knowledge of medical cannabis. But really the most valuable experience that you can get is volunteering with the patients, you know, being on the front lines of the political movement and really understanding the inner workings of the Illinois Medical Cannabis Program, because it's much, much more, you know, about patients and politics versus, you know, the basic cannabis knowledge.
Yeah, you are mixing the governmental with the scientific, aren't you?
Absolutely.
It's kind of a balancing act of sorts.
It's a very tricky balancing act.
Well, let's talk about the patient. You just mentioned the patient, and I'm interested in patient profiles.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the typical medical cannabis patient?
Right. So the Illinois Department of Public Health actually put out a kind of a survey, and it said that about 60% of the people that are registered in the Illinois program are women who are 51 years of and older.
Hmm.
So it's definitely not the typical cannabis patient that you would think of.
Not at all. No.
And I think that that's something that would surprise most people. And cancer, fibromyalgia, and multiple sclerosis are the top qualifying conditions. So definitely people that have a need.
So it's a little more expansive than that, though. I was looking at your website. I mean, we don't have to list all of them, but sure. Other than those three, what are some other conditions that you could have to be able to get become a medical marijuana patient?
Right. Cancer, AIDS, HIV, ALS, chronic inflammatory disease, Crohn's disease, arthritis, but specifically rheumatoid arthritis, not osteo. Osteo is something that we're hoping to get approved in the next week here or so. We're expecting to hear from Governor Rauner to approve an additional 8 conditions.
Yeah, I, with a little bit of luck, that will happen.
Yes.
Because in other states, that has been cleared.
Absolutely. In other states, they have a much, much more extensive list than we do here in Illinois. There's only about 37 qualifying conditions on our list, and all of them are completely debilitating conditions. But chronic pain and some of these, you know, other general categories really need to be added. I have people that are paralyzed in wheelchairs, you know, have all of their discs fused together, and they can't even get a medical cannabis recommendation. People that can barely walk through the doors of our facility are still struggling.
You know, that's a tough thing, though, isn't it? The qualification.
Right.
So how does a person qualify to be a patient in your clinic, the Clinic Mundelein?
Right. So it's kind of an extensive process. First, we kind of preach establishing a doctor-patient relationship. That is one thing that's required by the state of Illinois, is you have to have a bona fide doctor-patient relationship, meaning you have to have a relationship with your doctor for a certain period of time overseeing your care. So that's the primary thing that has to happen before.
So it can't just be a few months.
Yeah, you can't just walk into the doctor and say, I have osteoarthritis or rheumatoid arthritis. It has to be an established connection with your doctor.
Okay, so that's one qualification.
Right.
What are some of the others then?
So then after that, you would basically start your process filling out the application. Once your doctor sends in the paperwork saying, you have one of the qualifying conditions, and this is one thing that I really want to stress to doctors in Illinois as well, is that it is not a medical cannabis prescription, and I can't say that enough times. It is not a prescription. It is a recommendation. All we're asking of the doctors is to just qualify them, state that the person has the condition. You don't have to recommend a dosage. You don't have to recommend the type of medical cannabis, but just saying that they have the condition, that they've seen you, and this is something that they're struggling with, and that you've explained the risks and the benefits, both. And I think, you know, as patients, they need to be informed of both the risks and the benefits.
How many doctors are really educated in this, though, to know what dosage to give or in terms of that?
They're really not.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're talking alternative medicine.
Right.
Some doctors are definitely embrace it.
Sure.
But many still are old school, traditional.
Right. And it puts us in quite a position, because as patient care specialists, there's a fine line between us and doctors. And, you know, we wish that we can give a lot more information to our patients than what's available to us legally. Doctors really need to get on board with this program. They need to start doing their research. This isn't just opinion anymore. It really is science. And we hope that doctors can give a little bit more guidance to their patients, because that's what we really believe. We believe in the doctor-patient relationship, and we believe doctors do want to do right by their patients.
So I want to talk a little bit about the where you draw the line for eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're getting to that point right now. Arthritis isn't going to cut it.
Mm-hmm.
Chronic pain isn't going to cut it.
Right.
It really has to be something that is pretty severe, at least in the state of Illinois,
mm-hmm.
to become eligible for medical marijuana.
Correct.
Versus, say, Colorado, California, Alaska, Oregon, any of the Pacific Northwest states.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
We really see, you know, here in Illinois law, they wanted to be super specific with the qualifying conditions. It has to basically state as it is on the list of qualifying conditions in your medical records. So there's really no gray area. If you have degenerative disc disease, or, you know, you have arthritis, it has to specifically be spinal cord injury, it has to be spinal cord disease, or it has to be rheumatoid arthritis. There is no gray area for, you know, doctors to kind of interpret, as if you will. They have to be stated as it is on the list.
So PTSD patients do not qualify in the state of Illinois, which is sort of an amazing to me.
Right. And, you know, we were just down in Springfield yesterday for Approve the 8. And that is one of the main things that we're pushing for, is veterans' right to access legal, you know, cannabis for the use of PTSD. Because we've seen numerous studies that it does help. But unfortunately, in the state of Illinois, it is not a qualifying condition.
So I guess we're just trying to get over the hump here in Illinois.
Right.
You know, it just is just a start. And well, let's say this. Okay, so let's say a patient becomes eligible
mm-hmm.
With the other conditions that you were talking about. And once they're eligible, There then are you call it delivery methods, I think, on the website,
sure.
or the way that you can actually take it.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be too hip here, smoke it, eat it, or whatever. But I think the way it was put in the website was flower, extract, pills, and edibles, correct?
Correct.
What do you guys offer? And then what are the disadvantages and advantages of all those types?
Yeah.
That's a mouthful right there.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well, we have a lot of different products in the medical cannabis dispensary. The first product that we started working with was the dry flower or buds, if you will. And this is just the traditional cannabis flower that most people are accustomed to, just the dry buds that are trimmed off the plant. The great thing about this delivery method is it's the quickest form of relief for patients. So it's almost an instant effect for them. So within 10 to 15 minutes of vaporizing or smoking the dry flower material, they're really finding quick relief.
How does that work?
So vaporizing is basically the action of almost steaming the product. So instead of combusting
like
the material.
Your broccoli.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay.
So, and we know with broccoli, the longer we cook it at the higher temperatures, the less nutrients we get from the broccoli. And it's really similar with medical cannabis that we want to heat it at a lower temperature to keep all of the cannabinoids, flavonoids, and terpenes in the product. And
that's, boy, you had a lot of neat words there.
Yeah, okay, these are all things that contribute
chemical
to
chemical compounds,
right?
I assume. Okay,
that
right.
You know, contribute to the success of cannabis-based therapy.
Okay, so the steaming it is one way.
Right.
And then smoking it the old-fashioned
yes.
way. Okay. And then pills, candy,
yeah.
edibles, things like that?
Pills and capsules are not available yet on this market. We're hoping in the next few
in
weeks
Illinois.
Here. Right.
Okay.
We'll
mm-hmm.
see the pills in pill form. We do have edibles. Chocolates were delivered on the 31st of December to the Clinic Mundelein. So we do have edibles available. They come in 10 and 100 milligram dosage, which is really great for patients, especially people that can't smoke, you know, that have a hard time inhaling smoke or vapor. It's a way for them to get quick relief. It takes a little bit of a longer onset for edibles, so that's kind of the kickback that you get with that. But it does last a little bit longer than smoking or vaporizing. So it's almost a slower release throughout the day. So people find that it provides them a little bit of an extended pain relief.
So it helps with pain relief.
Right.
That's number one then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is that the number one benefit then?
No, not at all.
Okay, because when I think of medical marijuana, I think of it as being a pain reducer.
Right.
Okay.
I think a lot of people don't realize how, you know, medical cannabis really works. And we are all built with an endogenous cannabinoid system. And basically, our bodies are meant to process cannabinoids, the active ingredients in cannabis.
So just what you said, mm-hmm. those are the active ingredients.
Right.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
And our body's meant to receive them. We have CB1 and CB2 receptors, which are located throughout the body, and basically the use of cannabis therapy either stimulates or suppresses these receptors, which control the homeostasis of your body.
Hmm. Okay. So, and you said the homeostasis.
Mm-hmm.
Expand that a little bit. What do you mean?
Right. So the way that you eat, the way that you sleep, and the daily functions of your body, it just basically means that despite external fluctuations, that your body knows how to react properly. And we see with a lot of these debilitating conditions that people's body are not really regulating these fluctuations externally properly. So cannabis helps to regulate that a little bit.
So is there evidence in this in terms of this therapy, I mean, other than it sounds like people are getting pain relief. I'm kind of playing devil's advocate
right.
here for a minute. What kind of evidence have you been able to gather? I assume it's from other states then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What have you found?
Well, really, the evidence that we're seeing is based outside of the United States. There's a lot of really tough restrictions right now as far as testing cannabis. Since cannabis is a Scheduled I substance, meaning it's under the same category as heroin, methamphetamines, there's a lot of restriction as far as testing it in labs. So, unfortunately, the United States hasn't seen much internal cannabis research because of the heavy restrictions. Once the FDA declassifies it as a Schedule I substance, we're able to provide all of the research that doctors are so desperately seeking.
And what are you seeking in terms of research?
I think, you know, just good and bad. Patients deserve to
That's
hear everything.
That's what I was going to say. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, patients deserve to hear everything. And in order to be, you know, the most informed as you can for your medical decisions, you should be able to know the risks and the benefits. And right now, they're not clearly outlining either of the risks or benefits. It's just kind of reading in between the lines for the most part.
So if we read in between the lines, what are the risks and benefits?
So
benefits, we've got pain reducer. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then helping your overall digestive system and all the other things that you were talking about, the homeostasis.
Right.
But in terms of the risks.
You know, risks are very, very low with medical cannabis, and we can see that on a daily basis. I mean, I'm sure you can imagine with all of the cancer patients and patients on epilepsy drugs that we see, there's a lot of drug interaction going on, you know, in the prescription narcotic field. So being able to reduce the interactions with other drugs is something that cannabis can provide that other prescriptions do not.
That's a good point. Instead of taking a half a dozen prescriptions, now you just can take the medical marijuana.
Right.
Is that in essence what you're saying?
Absolutely. And we get that evidence on a daily basis. We have people walking through our doors that I've cut out my prescriptions completely, or I've absolutely reduced them in half, or I'm just not as taking as much as I used to, and I feel a little bit more like myself. And that's really what we're seeking here. We're not expecting everybody to replace their prescription medications, but if we can get people off one, two, or three and just kind of enhance their daily life, that's really what we're aiming for.
So how does it enhance their daily life? What have you found?
I
know you don't have the hard research you were saying, but what have you found just from talking to the patients you have seen?
Regaining functions with friends, family, and children. I think what really a lot of these people are missing is the human connection, and cannabis really restores that for a lot of people. They're kind of in their own world, you know, they're kind of out of it on their medications. You'd be surprised by the amount of people that come in and, you know, could barely hold a conversation with us when they first came in because they're on so many medications, can barely keep their eyes open. And they come to us 2 or 3 weeks later off of these medications, and they're smiling for the first time. They're interacting with you, and they tell you they went to the family party for the first time with no anxiety. And it's really just allowing people to live their lives again, and it's an amazing thing to see.
Now, you work at the Clinic Mundelein. I'd like to talk a little bit about the Clinic Mundelein.
Sure.
I have this image of it being kind of like an outpatient ad hoc hospital type of thing. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, so
it's not like a head shop.
Not at all.
Okay.
And I think that it's kind of people either think it's going to be a doctor's office or they think it's going to be a head shop. And really, we're neither. And we realize that people are in and out of the hospital all the time and in and out of doctor's office. So we really wanted to create an environment where patients felt welcome, they felt comfortable, and they didn't feel like another number in line. So it's not the completely stark, sterile environment of a doctor's office. It feels a little bit more like a living room.
So if I walk in, what do I see? Do I see some posters or...
Walking in is actually pretty restricted. You'll walk in first and you'll provide an ID, a state ID, and your medical cannabis card to somebody, our security
at
the door.
You cannot just walk in there, though.
No, there's actually restricted access. So there's different types, different parts of the dispensary that patients are allowed into depending on their qualification. So everyone is able to enter the front door of our facility and talk to our lovely security guard at the front, but you're not going to get much farther than that if you don't have your medical cannabis card.
Well, that's completely different than a liquor store away.
It is. It's safer than a liquor store. It's safer than a jewelry store and even a bank.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say I have my ID.
Sure.
What am I going to see exactly?
So once you step into our facility, it is a nice waiting room. We have slides playing on our TV, typically of our menu, the different products that we offer. We have a leather seating chair, so everybody's feel free. They can hang out. We have lots of magazines, cookbooks, and a variety of things for patients to look through while they're waiting in that room. Once they're done waiting and a patient care specialist is ready, they'll actually bring them into our secured retail space, which is through another set of doors, where they would begin their one-on-one consultation with one of our patient care specialists.
Now, if I come in, do I show an insurance card or anything? I mean, how does this work in terms of, I mean, this costs money, and maybe we can talk a tiny bit about that. What is the cost, for example, of a typical patient, which I know is pretty general, a couple $100 a week, or what's coming out of their pocket? Is insurance covered? How does that all kind of come about?
Yes.
Are your services covered? That type of thing.
I wish insurance was covered. And actually, I just spent an hour and a half, 2 weeks ago on the phone with Blue Cross Blue Shield trying to get to the bottom of it. But insurance is not going to cover medical cannabis until the FDA approves it as an approved treatment. So until the FDA recognizes it as an approved drug, unfortunately, insurance companies have their hands tied with that. So we realize it is a massive expense to patients when insurance won't cover it. And that's something that we're really fighting for as advocates and try to get the insurance companies to realize that this is a treatment that people need and they need assistance with it. We do provide discounts for veterans and for seniors at the moment. So that is something that helps to reduce the cost of medication. But an ounce of medical cannabis ranges from about $300 to $420, depending on the strain.
And that could last you a while.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. 2.5 ounces is what's the limit every 2 weeks. I would say the majority of the cannabis patients are probably smoking about a quarter ounce a week. So it really just depends. There's people that do a lot less. There's people that do a lot more.
So we could say maybe $400 or $500 a month.
Right.
But if that's providing you relief...
Absolutely.
It's worth every penny then. Okay.
Absolutely. And some of these prescription drugs that people are on, they're really expensive. You know, $150 to $200 a pill sometimes. So it's, for some people, it even cuts some costs.
Now, I see that you're owned by GTI or Green Thumb Industries.
Yeah.
How's this product manufactured? How does it get to the dispensary? I mean, we don't have to go through the whole lineage here, but I'm just wondering how from A to B to C.
Right. So we have two cultivation facilities down in southern Illinois, Rock Island and Oglesby, where all of our cannabis is produced. So everything is grown in-house down there, trimmed and cured. Once it goes through the entire cultivation process.
Gee, I thought it would be in Colorado. Sorry to cut you off, but I had no idea it was in Illinois.
It is only in Illinois, and that's because federal guidelines prevent anything from being transferred over state lines. It then becomes drug trafficking at that point, which is unfortunate because there's a lot of great products on the market in Colorado, California, and Washington that we wish that we could share with each other. But unfortunately, those companies have to come to Illinois before we're able to put any of those tested products on our shelves.
Well, again, the governmental and the scientific.
Right.
Right. So you said that it's grown in Rock Island and Oglesby.
Correct.
Okay. And like a greenhouse of sorts?
Yep, it's pretty much an indoor greenhouse type of deal. And everything is also sorted and packaged there. So you don't see kind of these pictures that you would in Colorado with, you know, cannabis all over the dispensary counter and scales and bags. Everything is prepackaged to us in discrete containers that contain all of the testing information on the product. And everything is delivered to the store that way.
Very interesting, Kaylee. I tell you, I am talking to Kaylee Hukirk, a patient care specialist at the clinic, a medical cannabis dispensary located in Mundelein. And when we come back, we'll talk to Kaylee about the three basic types of marijuana plants, maybe some of those plants that are grown in Oglesby and Rock Island.
Yeah.
And I think some of the misconceptions, we can continue a little bit with that too, regarding medical marijuana. You're listening to Word of Mouth. I'm Jim Wunderlich, and we'll be back right after this. In the background, you hear the music of Jimmy Cliff, I Can See Clearly Now, old song by Johnny Nash, big hit back in the 1970s. And we're trying to get a little more of a vision here, clear-cut view, trying to see a little bit more about the medical marijuana industry. And we're fortunate enough to have Kaylee Hukirk with us, who's the director of patient care specialist at the clinic, a medical cannabis dispensary located in Mundelein. And you're listening to Word of Mouth. My name is Jim Wunderlich. And if you're just joining us, we've been talking about lots of things that have to deal with the industry, the medical marijuana industry. We've talked about the typical cannabis patient, some of the benefits of medical marijuana, which we're going to get into more in detail. We started to talk a little bit, too, at the end of the segment one about how the clinic Mundelein actually grows its own plants in Oglesby, and also Rock Island, Illinois, and we talked a little bit about the manufacturing. And, you know, I want to kind of go a little bit further there about the plants themselves. I was looking on the clinic's website, and I noticed that the three types of marijuana plants that are listed, sativa, indica, and hybrid. And I understand that they ultimately provide patients therapeutic benefits through the secretions, which you had mentioned in segment one. So what are some of the characteristics and benefits of each of these plants, the sativa, the indica, and hybrid? We'll just get a little educational lesson here about marijuana, I guess, or cannabis.
Sure. So the three main types really affect patients differently, and I think that that's something super important to stress to potential patients out there, because I think that there's a lot of people who maybe have tried cannabis at one time or another in their life, and maybe they felt their heart race, they felt a little anxiety or a little paranoia, and really we can dwindle that down to the different types of cannabis. So cannabis, the sativa strains of cannabis typically tend to be a little bit more stimulating and energizing for the patient. They can also make the heart race a little bit. They can raise the blood pressure a little bit. So for people with underlying conditions with anxiety or mood disorders, sativas can be a little unstabilizing for them. So for people that have tried it on the street, they may have tried a sativa and had a negative effect. That doesn't necessarily that they're going to have the same reaction to all types of cannabis. Sativas also contain typically the higher amounts of THC, which is the psychoactive ingredient in the cannabis plant that typically gives people the high that you think of. The indica types of plant, we like to kind of joke in the industry. We say indica couch. So they're a little bit more sedating. They get you a little bit more sleepy, but they're great muscle relaxants, great for providing relief for insomnia. They also typically tend to be higher in CBD, which is the non-psychoactive ingredient in cannabis that provides the relief from inflammation and also relief from muscle spasticity as well.
Okay. And then also there's a hybrid of these two then?
Right. And the hybrids are kind of the best of both worlds. It's kind of a little bit of a sativa and a little bit of an indica. So for people that are looking for intense pain relief at night, but necessarily don't want to go to sleep, a hybrid may be more appropriate. Or somebody that doesn't want to be super energized during the day, but wants some relief from pain during the day, a hybrid may be more appropriate for them.
So I'm going to dumb it down a little bit.
Sure.
The indica then is basically drowsy.
Right.
Okay, and then the sativa would be something that would be more hyper or alert.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or energetic, to use your term.
Right, okay? And it actually can be completely opposite for some patients too. So we always want to stress it's an exploratory process for all patients, because you may have a completely opposite reaction from the typical patient.
Well, you take something like Sudafed.
Right.
Most people get wired from it, but there's those occasional few who get sleepy. Who would know?
Right? I get sleepy on caffeine. So perfect example of where my body works a little bit differently than other people's. And that's what's important about cannabis-based therapy, is that we realize everybody's a little bit different, and we try to tailor the therapies to the individual.
So you talked a little bit about THC, which, you know, when I hear that, you know, that's like saying alcohol.
Sure.
Okay. So, that's a chemical in marijuana, and then you started to talk a little bit about it. That releases, if I recall, from my old chemistry class, dopamine, right? Okay, and you said that's responsible for the psychological effects.
Right, so the psychoactive effects are definitely intensified with the THC, but THC is kind of a big misconception in the medical cannabis industry.
By the way, what's that stand for? I could not pronounce it, I don't think. What is it? I'm putting you on the spot now, too. It's a block long.
It is.
Okay. It's a compound, chemical compound.
Right.
Okay.
chemical compound.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Delta 9 for short.
Okay.
So okay. We'll give you that. Delta 9 for short.
All right.
But basically, it provides a psychoactive reaction that most people associate with cannabis. However, for me, as a patient care specialist and my other patient care specialist, we really want to stress that it's not just the THC in the cannabis that really provides the success to its therapy. There's tons of other cannabinoids in the cannabis plant, along with terpenes and flavonoids, that all contribute to what we call the entourage effect. And basically what that means is the more variety that we have in the plant, the more successful the treatment tends to be. So really not just isolating the THC and using that for your treatment, but using the CBDs, the CBN and CBGs, the other cannabinoids in the plant are very important to the different types of conditions. And depending on your condition, THC may be completely inappropriate.
And to dumb it down, the cannabinoids, is that how you...
Cannabinoids.
Cannabinoids, okay. That's the chemical compound.
Correct.
Or secretions that come.
Right.
Okay. So in addition to the THC.
THC is included in that.
In THC, okay. So how's this regulated with the THC? I mean, you can't really drive a car with, well, tell me about that. Isn't there, there's a balancing act here, isn't there?
There is a very big balancing act, and it's really great. The state of Illinois has a lot of provisions in place to make sure that people know the contents of their medical cannabis. So THC is actually one of those things that you'll see on the labels that we do have to provide to all patients on every single product. So you'll know exactly the amount that you're getting in that product at that time. So Illinois does require all products to be labeled with all the cannabinoids in it as well. So you'll know what you're getting.
So alcohol limit when I drive, 0.08 or whatever it is.
Right.
Is that it? I think it is.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Is it 0.8 or 0? Yeah.
I think it's
0.8, I think. Anyway, we'll get a call. But what I'm concerned about THC then, what is the legal limit for that for driving? And I guess what I'm getting to is how do you determine how much THC a patient should have? They also have to drive to the clinic and drive back. They're getting dispensed this.
Right. So
you see where I'm going with this?
It's a little bit difficult right now, and we can see that in other states like California and Colorado where they've considered testing for cannabis. And this is where it gets tricky. People consume different types of cannabis, like I was talking, the CBD therapy, that is mostly non-psychoactive. So it would contribute to, no head high where it would affect the person or impair their driving. However, if they were to test, they would probably have small residual amounts of THC in their system. But it does not mean that they would be an impaired driver. So depending on the strain of cannabis, you may or may not be impaired. So that makes it tricky to test. It's almost like, vodka and whiskey do two different things. Vodka makes you drunk and whiskey doesn't. Do we make all alcohol illegal?
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the bigger question is, how do you customize it for your patients? As a patient care specialist at the clinic in Mundelein with medical marijuana or cannabis?
And this is, it's a great question. And this is something that I wish I could kind of pass off to our doctors more, because I really feel like this is where our doctors need to step in and do their research and determine the dosaging, per client, per condition. And that's really what we want to hear from the doctors. We want to see the feedback. We want to see the research. Right now, it kind of is a trial basis for each patient. Everybody's going to be a little bit different, and we kind of rely on our patient feedback. Each new patient at the clinic Mundelein is provided with a journal. So we really hope that all patients, we write down the types of strains that they're getting for the day. We ask them to then journal their experiences for each strain. And then we also ask them to document the percentages on their bottle as well. So the next time they come in to us, they can say, hey, this pre-98 Bubba Kush worked really well. Or, hey, this Platinum Girl Scout cookies was phenomenal. Or, hey, I wasn't really feeling this other one we tried. But then we kind of know why.
Is this journal part of sort of a contract of sorts for them to continue to get them it doesn't matter one way or the other, but this is beneficial to you to have this.
Okay. It's beneficial to them as well, because sometimes you have to try things a couple days in a row or more than once to really kind of determine the effect and how it affects you, because trying something in the morning is a lot different than trying something at night. So we really advocate using, multiple strains, documenting the differences in them. And then once we kind of know, what you enjoy, we can take a look at the genetics of each plant and then tie the common genetics to other things that we have in stock. So say you loved that pre-98 we were talking about. We would then look at the other genetics in pre-98 and see what other plants have in common with the pre-98 and be able to make recommendations from there.
So how do you manage the dosage frequency? I think you're getting to that right now. Is that by just kind of the give and take between you and the patient?
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of patient experience level as well. If somebody is a habitual cannabis user or somebody that's a user for the first time, they're going to both react a little bit differently.
Okay, just some skeptics say, some folks will say that marijuana is a gateway drug to more harmful drugs. And you must hear that from outsiders or from people who are a little skeptical about the clinic in Mundelein.
Right.
What are your observations about this claim, and how do you react to it?
People that tell me that, I wish they would walk into my clinic and be in my shoes for a day and see what the people are like when they come in on their prescription drugs and tell me which is more dangerous. Because really, it's a night and day difference between the narcotics that they're on and the medical cannabis that they receive. And we see dramatic improvements in, personality and, ability to function and make connections with other individuals. And, the gateway theory has been around for longer than you and I could probably remember. But just because an alcoholic drinks milk for the first time does not mean that, drinking milk causes alcoholism. There's a huge difference between correlation and causation. And really, the cannabis research out there is showing the complete opposite. We look at states like Colorado and California, where we're actually seeing a decrease in drug usage. And actually, teen usage of marijuana has dropped from 24.8% in Colorado down to 22%. So
you're sounding like a politician.
Right. There's some politics involved with it. We want to look at the facts. And when we're battling opinions against facts, it really makes no sense. We need to look at the numbers. We need to look at the research and make more informed decisions.
Now, there was a little bit of controversy when the clinic opened up in November. For the most part, Mundelein, the community, some people were afraid crime would come. I understand that the police were going to have to do more patrols. Meanwhile, patients, they were relieved that they didn't have to travel so far, whether it's Rock Island or Oglesby or wherever they have to go to get medical marijuana. So now you've been around for a little while, pretty short time. But what kind of feedback are you getting from the community of Mundelein since you opened this medical cannabis facility?
We've been so supported by the Mundelein community, and I can't thank our supporters enough. The Mundelein police have been amazing to work with. They've really been with us since day one, making sure that, we set up everything properly and we're really abiding by the rules, and we're going over and beyond when it comes to security and making sure our neighbors and community feel safe. And that's really what's most important to us, is making sure that, not only our patients feel safe, but the community around us, because ultimately it's up to them to help to support this program as well.
And it's not like you're in downtown Mundelein.
Right.
Where are you located?
We're actually located at 1325 Armor Boulevard in Mundelein, which is, it's a really, really great area. There's not a lot of foot traffic. We have ample parking for our patients. So we're kind of tucked away off the beaten track, which has been really nice for us.
It's a light industrial area.
Yeah.
Right, right. So you're not like in the heart of Mundelein anyway. The feedback you're getting back from your patients, you had said in segment one, has been pretty positive. Any first-person stories that you've heard?
Yeah, just phenomenal first-person stories. I have one of my patients who actually came to see me for the first time today. His mother was the first patient at the clinic, Mundelein. She was picking up his medication for him for the past 3 or 4 months because he's not been able to physically come into our facility of his debilitating condition. He's been completely bedridden. When I met his mother for the first time, he had been on a liquid diet for almost 2 weeks. They didn't think he was going to make it very longer. After using cannabis-based therapy, he was not only off of his liquid diet, but he has regained function in his colon almost completely. So, it's not just opinions. It's really facts. It's really healing people.
And these are narratives that you're going to have to, document.
Absolutely.
And get the word out and interstate, too.
Sure.
This is the thing I'm wondering about. How you guys are going to stay in business, because... And this may segue a little bit to what we were talking about in segment one, but recent Chicago Tribune article indicated that there are only 4,000 medical marijuana patients statewide.
Right.
So you only have 4,000 patients, that's it, who have these conditions that we were talking about in segment one, cancer, MS, some of the other conditions, pretty severe stuff.
HIV, AIDS. And
that type of thing. But yet arthritis and arthritis and chronic pain are not part of those conditions. So how is your business going to be able to survive with that small number? Do you see the problem?
We've been very, very lucky at the Clinic Mundelein. Since we were one of the first facilities to open up, we did get a large part of the patient population. So,
oh, you did.
We've been very blessed with our patients and the amount of people.
How many patients have you garnered?
I think since day one, we've probably seen over 800 patients. Whether they're returning or not, I can't say right now. But we've had a lot of patients come through our facility just because we were one of the first to open the doors, and we've been very lucky that even when facilities have opened closer to some of these patients, they've remained loyal to us. So we couldn't thank our supporters enough, but our patients are really what is holding up the business right now.
And that goes back to what's happened in Springfield yesterday.
Right, right.
So what do you think? What's the future of the program look like?
Well, I mean, we really need doctors to get on board. We see this right now. We have about 25,000 applications that are pending. So people that have started.
25,000?
Right. People that have started the application process, but have not been able to fulfill their application for whatever reason, whether that's because their doctor won't write a recommendation, whether because they can't get somebody to do a fingerprinting because they're completely homebound, or because they can't get a caregiver to go to the facility and pick up the medications. There's a lot of different parameters that are really creating hurdles for our patients right now. I couldn't tell you the amount of calls I get on a daily basis, people with cancer, people dying, people on their deathbed who need this medical cannabis just to get through the next few weeks, and their doctors refuse to write a recommendation or refuse to even acknowledge that the program exists. My doctor didn't even realize that the medical cannabis program exists. And you can imagine her surprise when I told her what I did. She had no idea that the program even existed.
Right. Well, it is fairly new.
Right.
And going back, Kaylee, to the 25,000, there's probably a certain percentage there are probably just trying to get through the door. Don't you
sure.
think? A crack
oh,
in the
yeah.
door.
Definitely. But it just shows interest.
It does show the interest.
Right.
Though.
And, yeah, and even, without the publicity and without, having these conditions added to see how many people are interested and, just filling out the application is amazing.
I'm talking to Kaylee Hukirk, a patient care specialist and actually the director of patient care specialist at the clinic, a medical cannabis dispensary located in Mundelein. You're listening to Word of Mouth. I'm Jim Wunderlich. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Word of Mouth. I'm Jim Wunderlich, and I'm talking to Kaylee Hukirk, a patient care specialist at the clinic, actually a director of patient care specialist at the clinic. And the clinic is a medical cannabis dispensary that's located in Mundelein. And by the way, in the background, that was Three Little Birds by Bob Marley, Kaylee.
Love it.
And we've talked about the gamut. We last segment, we're talking about the different types of marijuana plants, the manufacturing, how it gets to the clinic, so then you can dispense it to the patients. You had some first-person stories, very interesting, regarding the feedback that they've received, positive feedback they've had from taking medical cannabis. And maybe I want to ask you this. We really haven't talked about the recreational use of marijuana, which does kind of segue a little bit
sure.
to some of the issues of this branching out where people with arthritis and chronic pain mm-hmm. can have access mm-hmm. to cannabis. So what are your observations about legalizing the recreational use of marijuana like it is in Colorado, Alaska, Oregon, Washington, in the state of Illinois?
I mean, obviously, it would be an ultimate goal to get things recreational here in Illinois, but I think we're far, far away from seeing recreational use of medical cannabis in Illinois. And while recreational use is great, it's not always the best for patients. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that being is these programs boom and they expand so quickly that we don't have the proper testing procedures in place. We have people growing, a large amount of strains, but not having enough demand. So the medical access then kind of becomes unstable for patients that need it for medical use. So for me, I would love to see a stable, robust medical program before even venturing into any talks about, recreational programs here in Illinois.
Right, because you can monitor it.
Right.
And that would be tough maybe not, though. I mean, the tobacco industry
sure.
monitors themselves.
Right. Well, we see how well that went.
Yeah, that's true. Good point. What's the most challenging or difficult aspect of being a patient care specialist or the director of patient care specialist at a medical marijuana or cannabis clinic?
I think it kind of what we touched on earlier, walking that fine line between politics and medicine. And right now it's kind of a complicated and gray area to be in. And, you know, we're not doctors and we're not politicians, but often, you know, we're kind of put in a position of both. And I think, you know, that kind of ties back into the education that we were talking about, and having a more stable industry with set standards is really going to, I think, help with that and some of the challenges that we face on a day-to-day basis. And more help from the states, always great. And we see that they've really stepped up and they've tried to do as much as they can, but really we need more support from the state of Illinois.
You said you were at a rally yesterday.
Yes.
How did that go for you?
We gathered on the steps of Springfield yesterday to make our voices known to Governor Rauner, who should be approving the 8 medical cannabis conditions that we wish to have approved. His advisory board, which is appointed professionals of doctors, nurses, patients, and veterans, have looked through the whole wealth of evidence that people have supported and put through. And these board members are appointed for a reason. It's because they're professionals and they're able to make that decision because they are doctors. But Governor Rauner has ignored their requests once before. So we were there to make our voices known, saying there's 22 veterans a day that commit suicide on these prescription pills that doctors are prescribing, but yet we can't allow a plant. And we begin to wonder if there's ties to the pharmaceutical industry or not.
What do you find the most gratifying part of your job then?
I think seeing people's faces smile for the first time. There's nothing like it. You know, knowing that somebody has lived a minute or two without pain is the most rewarding experience that I've ever had in my life.
I tell you, Kaylee Kukirk, thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me.
If you wish to contact Kaylee and learn more about the clinic, a medical cannabis dispensary in Mundelein, visit the website, theclinicmundelein.com. And thank you for tuning in. This is Jim Wunderlich, inviting you to drop by again next week for another edition of Word of Mouth.